Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is a blackjack player that today we're calling Mike, although that's not what his mother calls him. Mike plays mostly in the South and Midwest. Mike, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you for having me, sir. It's an honor. I'm a big fan of the show.
Uh-huh. Very good. So this show is actually being pre-taped. By the time you listen to it, with any luck, Bonnie and I will be enjoying a cruise back and forth to Hawaii. And so I will come back all tanned, and hopefully I'll still be on my diet, although it's hard to lose weight on a cruise ship. All right. So we're going to talk to Mike. How'd you get started playing blackjack, Mike?
Well, a friend of mine moved to Vegas back in 2006, and so he invited me out to Vegas. Of course, I took him up on it, and when I got out there, I'd never gambled before. I was like, I guess, with everybody else, I figured, you know, you can't beat the casino, so why even try? So we went around Vegas. He dragged me around different casinos. The first game we played was blackjack. I'd never played before. He told me the basic rules, and I lost my money real quick. The dealer was just, you know, getting face-up blackjack and 21s, and I'm just thinking, how can anyone win at this stupid game? So the next game we played was roulette. And, you know, in 30 minutes, I won $1,000. So I said, oh, this is my game. I have to get back home. And the first thing I'm going to do is play roulette. I must have the system that nobody else has thought of. So I got home, and I started playing. And then I realized, okay, I don't have a system for this game because I kept losing. And I read books on it. You know, I read books about, you know, the bias wheel, clocking the wheel, and things like that. I started keeping all these little pamphlets, all the numbers that I wrote down in the casino. I would keep hundreds and hundreds of these little pieces of paper with all these numbers written down. And at night, I'd go through the numbers and go through all the data and everything, and I'd try to find a bias wheel in certain casinos. And after doing this for months and months, I realized, you know, there were no bias wheels. All the numbers came out exactly the way they should, you know. So at that point, that's when I went back to blackjack, and I started doing some research on that. And the first thing I looked up was an easy card counting system, and the Red 7 came up, and it was history from there.
Now, had you heard of card counting from a friend, or how did you know?
I'd heard of card counting before. I saw the movie 21. But again, at that point, I was thinking, okay, you know, you're going to get kicked out. Why spend all this time learning a skill if they're going to kick you out and you can't play? I had no idea that you could play for, you know, many, many years. And I didn't realize, you know, once you got kicked out, you just go back again. You know, you just wait 6 months and go back. I thought that was pretty amazing. I thought they would get you, you know, once you got kicked out, that was it. That was the end. And I knew about, you know, I knew they had, you know, obviously networks and flyers and things like that. So if they send your picture all over the country, you're done in the whole country. You know, one instant, it's like a light switch going off. It's over. But it's not like that, of course.
I got something very different from the movie 21. I got that you have a gorgeous teammate who's going to fall in love with you, and you meet with your team in strip clubs. Had I been a 25-year-old when I first saw that, I would have been hooked.
That's right. I like that part too, but unfortunately, it never happened.
So I think that a lot of people have that mistaken idea that You know, in the old days, it used to be the Griffin Agency, but now it's OSN or Biometrica. And they think like, oh, as soon as I get in that, my career is over. But almost everyone I know, they end up making more money after they're in. I mean, just because of the amount of time, you know, involved, it really doesn't put much of a damper. How long did it take before you got your first flyer and your first back off?
2 years was the first time. You know, again, in the beginning, I mean, I'm playing red chip, you know. I had the money to play bigger stakes, but I was worried. I wanted to make sure I was doing it correctly, and I wanted to make sure that I was playing a winning game. And I knew, you know, that small sample sizes meant nothing. You know, if you play for 30 hours or 50 hours or 2 months, it means nothing. I mean, you can't even look at the data. You can't even look and know if you're playing a winning game. So I wanted to make sure that I had, you know, plenty of hours under my belt, and I was confident that I'm winning and playing a winning game. And at that point, I was going to ramp it up. And so I started off red chipping it, and, you know, of course, when you red chip, it's hard to get in a database. It's not impossible, but it's more difficult to get a flyer to get in a database. But when I started moving up to green, that's when I started having problems.
And what was your first back off like?
The first one was kind of funny. The guy, the shift manager, comes up to me, and because I'd been playing there for a while, and this is when I first switched over to green, and he comes up to me and says, "Hey, you know, I'd really like to get your card. I mean, you're playing all this money and everything." And I resisted because I'd been reading the forums and stuff. I'd been reading about, you know, don't play rated. You know, don't give up your name. It's not worth it, you know. So I resisted for as long as I could, but he kept telling me, you know, free rooms and free food and free this and free that. I was like, might as well just go ahead and do it, you know. I've been playing there for almost 2 years. I mean, if they weren't going to keep me out then, you know, they're probably not going to keep me out now, is what I thought. So I got a card, and I played with that card for about a month. I played with the card for about a month. And but back in those days, it's kind of funny, you know, I read about, you know, back counting and you know, wonging and things like that. And I was just lazy. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to back count right here sitting at the table. So I would sit down and I would bet, you know, $10, $10, $10. I quit. And I would just cross my arms. I'd just sit there and just count at the table and just watch the cards go by. At the end of the shoe, it gets good. I'll start betting $100, you know, $200. The next shoe, $10, $10. I quit. And I did this repeatedly over and over again. If the table filled up, I'd get up and go to another table. And I just did this. It was so blatant, you know. And, finally he comes up to me. It was classic. And he went to the pit. They get on the phone. And he's looking at the computer and all that stuff. And the suits are gathering. But I just thought, I was like, they must be having some kind of meeting or something. It can't be about me. And he comes out of the pit, walks over, and he says, "Hey, Mike, you can't play blackjack anymore." I was like, "What? What do you mean?" He said, "Well, we just don't want you playing blackjack here. You can play any other game, but you can't play blackjack." So I was like, "Okay." So when I left that casino, I thought my career was over. I'm done, because they're going to send my picture to every casino in the United States, and instantly I'm going to be turned off. You know, no matter where I go, they're going to get me instantly. And I walked, like, you know, next door to the next casino, and I played with no problems. And I played the rest in that city. I played all the casinos and nothing happened. So I knew then it wasn't necessarily true that you even would get flyered to begin with. But another thing I wanted to add about the OSN and Biometrica, when I got put in those, of course I stopped playing rated until I heard some other stories from other people who started playing rated. They were in all the databases, and they were playing rated. And I was like, "How can you play rated?" And they said, "Well, apparently the casinos, you know, they're reactive. They're not proactive. They don't even look you up until after they figure you're no good." So, I mean, you can play for, you might make it 6 months before they even look up your name. I thought that was just incredible. And I've been testing it out. I've been playing around a few places rated, and they're letting me play. I can't believe it.
Huh.
I mean, I'm sure I'm in every database there is.
Right. Go ahead, Bob.
Today, do you play by yourself or do you play with a team?
I play solo and I play with the team on occasions. You know, it's very informal. It's just like, you know, "Hey, you're gonna be in Vegas this weekend? Okay, let's play." You know, a couple of years ago, I started a team, and I was really heavy into it. We played lots of different cities. We did it for about a year and a half. But since then, it's been pretty mostly solo and the occasional team play.
You know, I have to say I much prefer in my earlier days, I played on a lot of teams and we would have some target or agree to play for a certain length of time, and you had to keep track of everybody's hours and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I now play like you, where we're going to go to a city this particular weekend. Maybe we'll be there 5 days. And at the end of it, you chop it all up.
That's right.
I like that approach so much better than the old way.
Yes. I had a guy approach me in Vegas, and he was going to start a blackjack team, and but he was like, "Okay, I need your social security number, your date of birth. I need some references. I need a resume." I was like, whoa. I said, that was enough for me right there. I was like, what is this? He was going to run like some kind of corporation or something. I was like, no, thanks, you know. But it's really I did it with, you know, people I would consider friends. I mean, these are people I knew I came across through the forums and I'd met and played with just for fun, you know, for years before we actually started doing a team. I would never do it with somebody I'd never met before.
Yeah, nor would I.
Yeah.
Have you ever been back roomed? This is something that new players are often very worried about. Oh, they're going to drag me in the back room.
Sure. I was last year. I went to a casino in Mississippi, and I'd been playing this casino for years, you know. And I did the classic thing where you go in, you leave with the chips. This place was really, it was a little dump. I mean, you couldn't even cash out $800 without them asking where you played, do you have ID, do you have a player's card. I mean, so basically, you had to just leave after your session and come back and try to cash later. If they gave you purple chips, you couldn't cash your purple chips. You had to break them down at the tables. So I would leave all the time with purple chips, and then I would just come back the next time, and I'd just, you know, go to the table, give them purple chips, they break it down, and I play. And if I had some black and green, I'd cash that out before I started playing. But this last time I went about a year ago, I sit down, I give them purple chips. I say, give me all green. The dealer stacks up the green, and she starts to push it out. And then all of a sudden the pit boss comes over and says, hold on. Do you have a player's card? And I said, no, I played, you know, unrated here like 3 months ago. I played at this table right over here. And she said, okay, well, I'm going to need to see ID. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, how do I know these chips are yours? I'm not cashing these chips unless I see ID. And I thought to myself, well, I mean, if I'm going to show ID, I might as well get a player's card. And I said, can I get a player's card? She said, sure. So I give her my ID. She goes to the computer. She starts typing stuff in. She comes back, gives the card back, and says, we have no record of your play, so we're not cashing these chips. I said, I just told you. I played unrated. Did you not hear what I said? I said, that's it. I stood up. I got really upset. I said, where's the shift manager? I want to speak to the shift manager right now. And the shift manager was in the pit right behind her because this place is so small. Like, everybody's in one little place. And so she goes, I'm the shift manager. And I said, and I told her the same thing. I said, what are y'all doing? I gave you my – you told me you could cash the chips. I gave you my ID, and now you're not cashing my chips. And she said that, I mean, it was like – she was like a robot. She said the exact same thing. We're not cashing those chips. We don't know that those chips are yours. I said, do you want me to call gaming? You want me to get gaming involved? And she said, go right ahead. Go for it. I said, okay. So I tried to call gaming, but this place, the gaming closes at 5. They don't have an after-hours location, so – I had to drive back home. It was hours to drive back home. The next day I called gaming. I told them what happened, and the gaming guy said, okay, let me figure out what we can do. He calls me back. He says, okay, everything's fine. Just go back to the casino. Tell them, you know, talk to gaming, and they'll cash your chips. Okay. So I drove back to the casino, hours drive, get in there, and it's that same lady is there. And, you know, I went there on swing, and now I'm on day, and she's there again on day shift. And I was like, well, are you working 24/7? What do you do? You work every day? And she says the same thing. I'm not cashing those chips. I said, gaming told me to come and cash the chips. She said, no, they didn't. Gaming just called you today. And she said, gaming called, and we told them what happened, and that's it. And so I had to leave again because I couldn't reach. It was on day shift, but it was like at the end of the day, and I couldn't reach gaming. So I had to leave again. Drove back home, called gaming again for the second time, and finally the guy calls the casino back. Now this time the director of compliance calls me, and he says, "Hey, listen, I'm really sorry. There was a mix-up at the casino. We didn't know who you are. Now we do know who you are. So everything's going to be okay. Just come on in, and we'll cash those chips." Well, that's code for, hey, we know you're Mike. Come in. We're going to take your chips, and we're going to have you arrested. You're never going to play here again. That's what that's code for. So I knew something was going to happen. I just knew it. So I had a friend come with me as a witness in case they tried to take my chips or whatever. And I go back. It's on day shift again, and the same lady is there. She walks up, and she says, "Hey, you know, sorry about that. You know, we have rules we have to abide by and everything." And so she tells me that. She says, we expect our players that don't play with a card to cash their chips out within 24 hours. If you go past the 24-hour period, we typically don't cash out the chips." And I was like, well, I said, "Where's the sign for this? Where are the signs in the casino to tell people this?" And, you know, it was a bunch of malarkey. Well, she says, "Follow me." So we're walking towards the cage. And then we walk past the cage. And then I realized, okay, that I'm going to be back ramped. Something's going to happen here. But I was ready to be done with this casino. I was never going to go back there again, ever again. It's unplayable for my stakes. So she takes me to this little room, and it's got, like, three chairs and a little computer, and she says that everything's being videotaped with sound. I said, "Okay, that's fine." And there was a security guard in there, and she said, "We're going to cash your chips, and then you're going to be 86, or you're going to be trespassed. And if you ever try to come back here again, you're going to be arrested." So that's fine. That's fine. What I need to do. And so she gave me a little form. It was one page, and I signed it. And all it said, it just had like two lines. It just said, you know, you were permanently evicted from this premises at this address, and that's it. So I signed it. And then they walked me up to the cage, cashed me out, and she walked me up to the front. She said, "Really sorry about this. You know, it's my job. I have to do this. I hate this about my job," and blah, blah, blah. And shook my hand and said, "Good luck." And I walked off, and that was it.
Did you consider suing them?
For what?
You know, I didn't. But, I mean, I essentially volunteered, I think, to go back there. Again, at that point, I was done with this place. I'm never going to go back there again. I just wanted to get my money and get out of there. You know, I don't know what I could have accomplished getting an attorney. I mean, they agreed to cash the chips, you know.
Well, it seems to me you were out, you know, those many hours of having to drive back and forth.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's not much of a case there, but, man, frost my chaps.
Forced me to the back. I went with him. I went with the girl, you know, willingly, so I thought that might dampen any case.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I don't. They didn't detain you. So
no, I did it voluntarily. I mean,
right.
They said, "Follow me, and we'll cash the chips." Okay, so I went back there, and
I just, you know, it just really bugs the crap out of me that casinos don't get punished for that kind of behavior.
No, they have all the power. I mean, they have all the power. It's true, you know. And I've really been. I've had a lot of close calls. I mean, there have been several times where I probably got arrested because I've had some times where they'll, you know, you put your chips on the counter. And like this one time I put the chips on the counter, this girl, she takes the chips and she pulls them off the counter, puts them way behind the counter. I can't grab them now. And then they started asking me if we want a CID. I said, "Absolutely not." And I said, "I played right over there. Just cash me out." And they said, "Oh, we're not cashing out without ID. And I started getting really upset, and I wasn't going to leave. I definitely wasn't going to leave with an IOU note. You know, I was going to get my either chips or cash, one or the other. And it was really funny because the shift manager or the manager comes out, and she said, "Well, surveillance wants to know who you are." I said, "I don't care what surveillance wants. I want my money. Here's the chips. I played right over there. You have to cash me out. It's ridiculous." You know, and I don't have my ID with me. I mean, just cash me out. And we went back and forth, and then she finally cashed me out. But that was one of the scary moments where they just could have said, no, we have your chips. We're not cashing you out.
What state was that in?
Louisiana.
Yeah, because, I mean, some, like in Indian casinos, you really can just be screwed.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. You know, I've played in a lot of Indian casinos. I never had any problems. All the problems happened in regular casinos, mostly in Louisiana and Mississippi.
Yeah.
On the Mississippi, where you had to drive several hours to go home and then come back again, did you consider getting a motel room and staying? That seemed less expensive to me.
Yeah. Well, I thought, again, each time I thought it was going to be over. I thought I was going to go back and cash the chips, everything was going to be fine. I didn't think there was going to be a big ordeal. The gaming agent told me they were going to cash the chips, so I believed them, you know. I knew something else very interesting. The gaming agent in Mississippi told me, we cannot force a casino to cash your chips. I said, what are you talking about? You're gaming. They said, no. I said, all we can do is we can ask the casino to, you know, resolve the issue. But they have no power. He said, we have no power over the casinos to force them to cash chips.
Wow. See, in Nevada, by law, they have to cash the chips. I mean, there have been some exceptions, like
the Nolan Della
with their $5,000 chip or whatever. Right. But, you know, there are actual laws about it. So I don't know what it is in Mississippi, but.
Yeah, chip cashing, especially in the South, is really a pain. The thresholds are very low, and they're always asking for ID, and it's tough. If you're playing unrated, it's very hard.
And if you just say you went up to the cage and they said, "We want your ID," and you said, "Yeah, sure," and just handed it over, do they scan it, or do they just look at it and go, oh, okay, he showed it to me, so I'll pay him? What do they do in that case?
Every casino is different. Typically, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll hold it up to them. I'll say, here it is. And when they grab it, I just hold on to it. You're not taking my ID. Here it is. There's my name. It's a valid ID, obviously. You have all my information. You get the address. Everything's on there. You cash me out. That's it. But you know, this is a really funny story. One of my friends was one time had this problem at a cage, and he showed his ID, and the lady grabs the ID and pulls it, you know, pulls his arm into the cashier, you know, and then he pulls it back, and then she pulls it back in. They're doing a tug of war over his ID. Like, he's like, nope, you're not gonna have my ID, and they're going back and forth. And it was the funniest thing. But he just refused to, you know, let them photocopy his ID, and they always do, or a lot of times they do. I've had it happen where, you know, I tell them I do not want my ID photocopied. They're like, okay, no problem, and I give them my ID, and whoop, they'll go to the back.
Yeah,
you know, where the photocopier is, they come back with my ID. Obviously, they copied it. You know,
you had, when we were preparing for the show, you sent us a story where you had a team of 8 players, 3 big players, and 5 spotters.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what happened.
Sure. This was in Louisiana, and we basically split up. There were a lot of casinos in the area, so we had one big player and you know, one or two spotters would go to each casino at different times. So at any one time, all of us are in one of the casinos, and we would just rotate around. You know, the first team would go in one casino, then they go to another one, and that next team would take that team's place, and we just rotate around. And it was working really good until one of our guys decided he was going to put a beat down on this one small casino, and he won. I mean, it was a ridiculous amount. It was probably well over 10,000, and they didn't like that too much. He left immediately, you know, with the chips. And that night, we were leaving the next morning. So that night, we were all trying to figure out how we're going to cash these chips, you know, because we're running out of time. And so he decided that he was going to put on this. He was going to go get buy this silly wig and glasses and everything. And he was going to go back that night and try to cash some of the chips. And he was going to get some of us, the rest of the players were all going to go in there and try to cash these chips, you know, at one time. So he went in first with these glasses, these silly glasses and a wig, and he's up at the cashier, and he's all nervous. And the same pit boss that was there walks up to him, and the pit boss is leaning over, looking at him, and he's looking at him. And at this point, I'm walking in so I can see all this. And I knew, it was like, they know it's him. It was so obvious, you know. So I went up to the cage, and I cashed with no problem, but here come the security guards. And they're coming, and my friend gets surrounded by security. Well, later on, I found out that they tried to force ID. They said, you know, he argued with me, and they said, we'll cash. We know you have more chips. We know who you are. If that's all you want to cash, if you just want to cash $1,500 or whatever it was, that's fine. But you're going to be permanently evicted from this casino. If you ever try to come back here again, you're going to be arrested. You will never cash those chips. And he was like, whatever, that's fine. And so they escorted him out. So now we have this big dilemma. We have all these chips still left, and how are we going to get these chips cashed? And two more of my teammates went in after him, because we didn't find out about this until, you know, much later. And two other teammates went in there. And the first guy goes in, and he puts the chips up on the table, and they say, we need to see ID. And he says, no, I'm not showing ID. Well, here comes the suits. They come marching up behind him with the security and everything. And they said, you know, if you don't show ID, we're not cashing those chips. We're not cashing those chips unless you show ID. And he said, well, I'm not showing ID. I mean, I played here, you know, last week. You know, cash the chips. And he goes, that's it. You're 86th. You're permanently evicted from the casino. If you ever try to come back here again, you're going to be arrested. We will never cash those chips. And he was like, okay. So he left. And the next guy came in, because we don't know all this is all happening so quickly. You know, the next guy comes in, he walks up the cage, he gets the chips, and they say, we need the ID. I don't have it with me. Here comes the suits. With the chip manager. And it's the same thing all over again. You're not going to show ID? That's it. You're 86. You're permanently evicted from the casino. If you ever come back here again, you're going to be arrested. You will never cash those chips. Half my team got 86 and appeared in like 30 minutes from this casino. And one of the guys had never been in there before in his life. He'd never walked a step foot in there. And so I wound up having to, you know, they dumped all the chips on me because I was in the, I mean, I live close to that area. And it took me about, they were watching for purple hard at the cage. So you couldn't bring one purple chip to the cage. They wanted ID. And so I had to go in there and go to the crap stable and go to the roulette and go, you know, and break these chips down. You know, it took like 3 months to get those chips cashed out.
Didn't your teammates have cell phones? I mean, didn't they call each other and said the 86 people tried to cash purple?
Everybody was, you know, at different locations, and we couldn't. And we tried. We texted some of them, hey, you know, don't go. But they didn't. They didn't check their phone. They went ahead and went.
Crazy. Have you had any run-ins with the police?
I've not had any run-ins with the police. I know lots of people who have, but I have not. The only thing, I mean, of course, I've been confronted by security and things like that, but I've never, not the police.
Yeah. And security's never forced you. You've never been dragged anywhere.
No,
right?
I've never been dragged anywhere. There was an instance in Mississippi where I had a friend that I had been there all weekend, and a friend came into town. And this guy, he's not even an Advantage player. He likes to gamble. You know, he's a good friend of mine. So he comes into town, and the night before, one of my friends that I was playing with got 86 from this casino, and I saw it happen, you know, and so I went back the next day with my friend, because I'd never had any problems with this casino, and we sit down, and this is my friend's, this is probably his first or second time playing with me, and he's just playing for fun, but we're sitting there playing, and we each put $25, you know, the minimum bet, we put it down. And the dealer deals a hand, and then here comes the shift manager, the pit boss, or you know, the missing shift manager comes up, and he says, he stops the game. Stop the game, you know. And he tells me, he says, I need to have a word with you. I said, okay, so I get up. He says, I can't take your action. I said, what action? I bet $25. What are you talking about? What action? And he said, well, we just don't want you playing here. We don't want you playing blackjack here. And I said, okay. So I picked up my chips, and I went to the bathroom. I texted my buddy, we're leaving, you know. Well, at the same time, they kicked him out too. Is we don't want your action either. You know, we don't want you playing blackjack here. Well, we're in the bathroom and we're dividing chips amongst ourselves so we can go cash out, you know. And right about then, the security guard came in. He's like, you, come out here right now. And this is Mississippi, of course. We walk outside and we're surrounded by security and suits, you know, and this guy's got these fax papers, these flimsy pages of black and white photos on it. And he's standing there and he's just saying, you know, We told you guys last night never to come back here again, and now you know we're going to call the police. And we were like, what are you talking about? And my friend just got into town. He just got here, and you know, and I haven't played here all weekend. And they said, and he's looking at the pictures, and we could see the pictures. They were terrible pictures, and he's getting really nervous. He knows that okay, maybe these aren't the guys, you know. And then finally, he just said, okay, regardless of that, I don't want y'all playing here, so we're going to cash you out, and that's it. You know, you're both of you are 86 from the casino. You know, you're permanently evicted. We're like, okay, and we voluntarily went to the cage. This is back before I knew any better. We voluntarily went to the cage with security, you know. But that was probably one of the closest run-ins we've had with having the police called.
So you've mentioned like big player doing the big player call-in. Mm-hmm. Why don't you explain that just for our listeners who are not familiar with that? And then also, is that your main approach, or do you mostly play alone now? Or
sure. You know? Yeah, the big player approach essentially is, you know, you have other players or spotters that all they do is bet the minimum bet, you know, $10. Or 25, and they're counting, and basically they give you certain signals to tell you when it's really good, when the count's high, when it's time to bet more, basically. And we had our different little signals and things that we do, you know, they leave the table, you come in, and you know what the count is, so you can pick up the count right away, and it looks good from your standpoint, because there's no way you can know what the count is, and you're coming in, your spread's small. I mean, you're coming in, if you're betting, maybe you're betting 300, your max bet 600, you got a 1-2 spread, and the casino knows there's no way you can win with a 1-2 spread. So a lot of times they're just like, you know, let them play, and it works really, really well. I mean, we did that for a long time. I mean, like I said, now I'm mostly solo, but I still do the occasional plays with other players. I've also started experimenting. Also, last year or maybe 2 years ago, I started doing guerrilla plays. And a guerrilla play is different from spotting. A guerrilla play is the person, I'm the one that's, I stay at the table and I'm counting, but I'm betting small. And then I call in my friend who walks up, and my friend's got a clean name. He's played before. He's a known loser usually. Mm-hmm. And so he sits down, he starts betting big right away, and I'm controlling him. He doesn't have to know how to count cards. He knows basic strategy, and that's it. And then I'm giving him all the signals on what to do, split, stand, you know, double down, take insurance, or what have you. And it works really well, except, you know, the first time we did it, though, it didn't work out so well because, you know, he sits down and there's this really good-looking blonde sitting next to him. So he's half the time he's just yip-yapping to her, and he's missing signals left and right, you know. And we have a max bet out, two hands with max bets out, and he needs to take insurance. So I'm giving him the insurance signal, and he's just staring into those, you know, those blue eyes. He's just staring. And, you know, that's it. I was like, you know, take the insurance. You know, I was thinking, you know, take insurance. Well, the girl's like waving her arm. She's like, okay, insurance closed. And I jump up and I say, wait, he wants insurance. I know he wants it. He wants insurance. And so he's like, my friend's like, oh, okay, yeah, I want insurance. So he takes insurance. And of course she doesn't have it. So all that for nothing. And there were several times when, you know, another thing that I would do is whenever the count got really good, I would sit out to give him all the good cards. So a lot of times when the big money's out, I'm not even playing. I'm just sitting there, you know, twiddling my thumbs, you know, giving the signals. But, you know, he's betting my money essentially. So when he would lose, you know, it would affect me. And you know, I'm a pretty expressive person, and sometimes I just couldn't help myself. You know, he would lose, I'd just like, oh. And then, you know, the next hand it'd be a face-up blackjack. Oh, God! And so the dealer looks over at me and says, sir, you're not even playing. I said, I care about everybody's hand. I care about look, that lady over there just lost. Oh, what a poor lady. I care about everybody. And so I just make up stuff. And my friend later was like, man, you can't. It's so obvious. Every time I lose a bet, you're getting upset. You can't do that. So he was actually telling me. It's pretty funny, but we've cleaned it back since then.
Yeah, you know, I've I've had that experience with non-professionals where, yeah, a lot mm-hmm. of times they just miss the signals, you know, mm-hmm. and it's hard to, you know, to keep them yeah. focused on the on yep. the job. But the benefit is, if they get barred.
A good friend of mine, and we went over everything there was, all the signals. I mean, and I went over everything I thought I could do, everything I could think of. I went over with him. And he walks up to the table. I called him, and he walks up to the table. He sits down, and he dumps $9,000 on the table. I said, "Oh my God, what are you doing?" He's like, "I'll take all black." That's the one thing I forgot to tell him. You don't buy in for all your money. And you should have seen them. I mean, the pit was having a field day with that one. They were just. There was a siren in the casino that had been going off, you know.
Now you get emotional. Has yeah. ever your emotions really worked to your benefit?
You know, I think it's worked to my benefit. I mean, I'm sure sometimes it doesn't, but I have had friends that, you know, play with me and they're like, "Man, you got a great act. I mean, you look like you were about to just break the table in half." And I told them, "I was about to break the table in half. I really was upset." So they said, "Man, it's just me, you know. I think the key to putting on a good act is to not have an act at all. It's to be yourself. It's to be who you are, you know. I mean, it's going to come across. It comes across really fake when you try to force something, you know. And I had a time in Vegas where one of my spotters called me in. I came in. I played. I left. And my spotter stayed at the table. A lot of times if the count tanks, we do it again. We'll do it again, you know, second time. But so he sits at the table and he's listening to the dealer. The dealer tells the pit boss, she goes, "Hey, did you see that guy in here that was here earlier? That was just at the table?" And he goes, "Yeah." And she goes, "I think he was on cocaine or something. I mean, there's something wrong with him." Because I was just going crazy, you know.
But I agree to not try to act. I mean, most people – you know, that I've seen when they try to put on an act, mm-hmm. it looks like they're trying to put on an act.
Oh, yes. Yes. So. I had a friend once, you know, and he was the opposite. He's the opposite of me. He's very reserved. You know, he's concentrating, you know, he's counting the cards and, a waitress comes by. He's like, "No, thanks." And I mean, anybody talks to him, "I'm busy." he's like, "I got to count these cards." So I told him, I said, "Man, you got to show some emotion. You know, you need to get excited or something. I mean, you're sitting there, you've got, you know, $1,000. Like, you get a blackjack and you're like Stonehenge. You're just sitting there, just nothing." So he's like, okay, I will. So because I was calling him in. You know, I was doing call-ins for him. He was coming. He was a big player. So in the beginning, the big player, you're supposed to be a crazy gambler, right? You're supposed to be up there having fun, you know, having a drink and just having fun. And but he was all serious, you know. So finally, he gets this blackjack, and he goes, "Yeah."
Okay.
No, that was it. Okay, it's a start. But you're right. You have to. I think you just have to be yourself. You have to look natural, you know.
Now, speaking of looking natural, have you tried disguises at all?
I have tried disguises. Minor things like grow a beard, grow a beard, wear a baseball cap, glasses. What's really funny is the first time I tried this, I had a little beard going. I wore some glasses, got the baseball cap pulled down, you know, and I thought, okay, you know, this looks pretty good. So I go to this one casino, and I'm in there playing in about 30 minutes. So the shift manager comes walking up, "Hey, Mike, we don't want you playing here anymore." let me tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the phrase, "Hey, Mike, no more blackjack." I've heard that about 100 times. It's amazing. And one place I was in a casino. I'd never been there before, first time there, and I had my spotters on the main floor. and I was sitting at the roulette table. You know, what great cover. You know, just sit at the roulette table, throw some chips around, and you know, write the numbers down because you have a system. You know what card, you know what numbers are coming because you got a system. So I'm writing the numbers down, you know, and all that, and I watch my spotters, and then up comes the shift manager with the suit. And they lean over and he says, "Hey, Mike, you're welcome to play roulette, but you can't play blackjack here." I was just like, "God, I just got here," you know.
Oh, well.
So, could you explain the difference between hit and run, or you know, sit and play, and which
sure.
one you prefer?
Camping versus hit and run.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, hit and run is essentially as soon as you get a big count, as soon as you get put your max bet out, you leave. Now, sometimes it can take 5 minutes. Sometimes it can take, you know, 2 hours. I mean, you don't know exactly how long it can take. But as soon as you show that ramp, as soon as you show your big bets, you leave. Because the casinos are looking for someone who's betting small, betting small, betting small. And then they bet big. Then they bet small. They bet small. Then they bet big. They're looking for this pattern. Well, if you just bet small, 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 and you bet big and you leave, it leaves some doubt in their mind. Versus camping is where you just don't care. You just play for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. You show your ramp as many times as you want. It's irrelevant. You're just playing for time. You're not playing for results or anything like that. Or you just want to get as many hours in as you can.
And which do you prefer?
Well, it depends on, of course, you have to do it based on the casino. Some casinos will let you camp. You know, some casinos let you play as long as you want. And that's, of course, that's the best option is to play. If you can camp. I mean, but a lot of places, especially in the South, you're not camping. You know, if you play more than an hour or so, you're going to get backed off. There are not too many tolerant casinos in the South. I mean, so in the beginning, I was doing a lot of hit and runs, you know, especially unrated. When you play unrated, immediately they're suspicious, you know. Immediately they're like, why is this guy not using a card? He's betting $100, he's betting $200, he doesn't want any comps. You know, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So that's why it really does help to use a card. It does help a lot.
All right, we're talking with Mike about his blackjack adventures. We have more. We're doing commercials a little bit early today, hopefully so we can get more of you to stay after the commercials. The good news is the commercials are going to be really short this time because this is being taped several weeks early. And I don't know exactly for sure what promotions are going to be on the December 8th date. Mm-hmm. Now, the South Point is still going to have 10,000 games returning more than 99%. Usually in December, they have use your points and you get everything in the casino half off, whether it is show tickets or rooms or meals or bowling or bingo or whatever your pleasure is. And that's the usual promotion for the first 3 weeks in December. It's been going that way for several years, and I expect it. I don't know for sure. No more video poker classes. They will likely have double points on either Christmas or New Year's or possibly both. Don't know yet for sure. At the Palms, they still are going to be having their Friday night drawings, and they will have likely play for points in December. It is usually you're playing for cash or free play instead of gift cards. Don't know for sure. We'll know when it comes. VideoPoker.com, still the best place to play a wide variety of video poker games that you don't find elsewhere. You can get correction on Quick Quads. Quick Quads is actually my game of choice there on multiple point days. And the other software out there does not have correction on Quick Quads. So if you want to get good, you need correction. So good. Back to Mike. Now, Mike, do you consider yourself a full-time player or a part-time player?
I consider myself a part-time player. I have a full-time job, but you know, the number of hours I get in, a lot of people say I'm full-time.
So blackjack players have to do a lot of traveling, obviously.
Yes.
So have you played any foreign places, or how much do you travel?
I have not played any foreign casinos. Traveling, I mean, I've pretty much burned out my local area, so I have to travel a good 2 or 3 hours to play now. And I would say that I play every week, probably one or two days a week. I'll go, I have a wife, and so it's difficult. I have a full-time job. It's difficult to get the hours in, but I usually play one or two days a week, and then every now and again, every month or so, I'll take a trip. And on the trips is really where I try to get the most hours. I try to get in as many as I can over a 3 or 4 day weekend. Going to different cities. That's when I really try to get the most of my hours in.
And how does your wife? How has she handled this part-time? This second job?
She doesn't like it. I've tried to explain it to her over and over again about the math and all that, but she is of the firm opinion that you can't beat the casino. You can't win. If you're gambling, you're going to lose. I'm in a tough situation because if I tell her, I won $3,000 tonight. She's like, great, give me $1,500.
Right.
So you will go broke really quick if you have to give up 50% every time you play. You will go broke really fast. So it's really difficult. But a lot of times when I'm playing, she's working. So that's another thing that helps out a lot.
It's one thing video poker players have an advantage over blackjack players is if you're playing for sizable stakes, you're always playing rated using your card because on W2Gs, which is a $1,200 jackpot or higher, you're going to get it a tax form.
Sure.
And the comps at video poker, it's like we're going on a two-week cruise comped by the casino.
Wow.
And there's meals and there's show tickets and there's other goodies. A lot of it falls in the casino crap category. But anyway, there's other goodies. And so it is easier to convince a wife that, this is a little bit easier to put up with.
Yeah. And I heard in Vegas now they're not even rating green chip players anymore. Is that true?
Some places. It depends on the place,
That would be strip casinos only?
Yeah, or? Strip. Yeah, strip.
Yeah, places like the Aria or Venetian. I mean, it depends. If you're betting multiple green chips, they will. But if you're betting 25, a number of them will not. And MGM has cut out all express comps for table games players.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really crazy. You can get a comp, but you have to go to a host and say, here's my card, look up my play, I want to go to the buffet or whatever. Mm-hmm. In the old days, pit bosses used to be able to just write you a comp for food. But
in combination with the great new rules they have, the 6-to-5 rules, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, Vegas is pretty unplayable for card counters.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Do you get out to Vegas much?
I do. I mean, we have some of our best times are in Vegas. There are still a few places left to play. It's not completely unplayable, but you're right. It's getting close. I mean, and for unless you can play $50 and $100 games, it's very hard to get a good game in Vegas. You're right about that. But we do every now and again. We do some team plays out there. We were at a I can't say what casino, but it was off the strip, and we were doing team play, and we come in, we start off at double three hands and double 300s and double 400s, and I was with it was two big players and three spotters in the casino. So there's three spotters, two big players, and me and the other big player, we decided to sit down at roulette because it was very close to the where our spotters were, and so we're sitting there playing roulette, and we're just red chipping it, and I'm writing the numbers down like I always do. And well, my friend here, he hates roulette with a passion. He didn't even want to play. He says, "I'm just going to sit here." So he just sat there and he's watching me, and of course I'm winning. So he's like, he gives $20. So he puts $10 on red, and they spin the ball, and black comes up. He puts $10 on black, red comes up. He puts $10 on the high numbers, the low numbers comes up. He puts $10 on low numbers, high numbers comes up. This guy, he couldn't win for anything, no matter what he did. And his face is turning red. He's starting to get really upset. You know, this is ridiculous. I can't win. I'm losing my ass. So then he gives like $200, and he puts red chips on the inside. He's going on tilt. I'm trying to stop him, you know. But he puts red chips on the numbers, and they spin the wheel. Green comes up. no matter what he could do, he couldn't win. He bets columns one and two. Column three comes up. You know, it was fantastic. If I would have bet against him, I'd won a lot of money. But so right then, one of our spotters gives a signal. So he goes, finally, I can win some money in this place. So he jumps up and runs over and he sits down. And at the same time, another spotter called me in. So I get up, I'm walking around the table, and I hear from my friend. He screams it out. I mean, the entire casino almost stopped and looked at him. He goes, "What do you mean the maximum is $200? What are you talking about?" And the pit boss tells him, "Oh yeah, the max here is $200." And he goes, "There's no sign on the table. There's nothing. What are you talking about?" So pit boss pulls out a sign and puts it on the table. Here it is, right here, $200 max. So he just explodes. You know, this is ridiculous. I'll never play here again. It's the worst. You can't do this. You know. And he was so mad, he just stomps off, you know. So there's
well, good times it, was in this Vegas. Because he had come in mid-shoe, or was there
– Right, right mid-shoe. Right.
Okay. Now, so we should talk about that because sure. I was under the impression that a lot of casinos had gone to no mid-shoe entry just to thwart this kind of idea. But apparently there are still plenty you can still play?
There's plenty in Vegas you can do it. Yeah, there's lots in Vegas you can do it. But – the problem now is that the games that allow mid-shoe entry, the rules are really terrible, and a lot of times the penetration is poor. I mean, so it's still it's not easy for sure. I mean, there's not a lot of places, but there's still some. I've been in Vegas. I've been doing more of the gorilla plays because I'll get somebody that has a clean name. They can play rated. He gets the comps to boot, you know, and so it works out really well. And we'll start the game together. So I'm helping him right away. I'm giving him signals and telling him what to do right away. But and he's sitting there. He's drinking. He's drinking it up. You know, he's drinking it. He's talking. He's talking to the dealer. He's talking to pit boss. He's watching TV. He's not even looking at the cards. He pays no attention to the cards. So it works out great. We've had no problems except for this one place. It's one place in Vegas, which is it's downtown. It's notorious for being really sweaty, you know.
That sounds like the El Cortez, but we won't talk about names.
Yeah, we won't talk about names. He sits down and he starts playing, you know. And so I told him what was going to happen. I told him that, you know, someone's going to come up to you and ask you for a card. Play dumb. Play like you don't know what a player's card is. You don't know how to get it and all that. So sure enough, suit comes up. Says, "Hey, you know, we see you're betting all this money. We'd like to get you rated and get you comps." And he goes, "Okay, well, how do I do that?" I said, "Well, just give me your license." "Okay." So he gives his license. They go back. They make a card come to, "Hey, welcome to such and such. We really appreciate you playing here. We wish you the best of luck and have a great, great time down here. Good luck, you know, buddy." And 20 minutes later, he's getting the tap. "We don't want you playing blackjack here." He says, "You just told me, have a great time. Good luck. What do you know? I mean, no, you don't want to play?" You're like, "No, you're just too good for us." And this guy, he never looked at the cards.
We
he
got about watching, 20 he,
he's
seconds.
He's watching sports the whole time.
Yeah.
We have.
Sorry we're out of time, Mike.
Sure.
It's been great. It was a good interview. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you.
That was fun. All right. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Mudgkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com. and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge. Money.